ओमगनाथ मृदंदशा गणंजना शलकयाचक्षुरुन्मीलितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. सो बिफोर बिगिनिंग द भागवतम क्लास आई जस्ट वांट टू मेंशन टुडे इज द कमेमोरेशन ऑफ द स्टार्टिंग ऑफ द कात्यायनी व्रत. कात्यायनी, ऑफ कोर्स दैट इज अ नेम दैट रिफर्स टू दुर्गा एंड द गोपीज. दे वर्शिप्ड दुर्गा, बट एक्चुअली as we know, the Yogamaya expands as the Mahamaya. So even though they were worshipping Durga, ostensibly they were actually worshipping Yogamaya. And the reason they were worshipping Yogamaya was that they wanted to get Krishna as their husband. And this particular Kachyani Vrat was a very austere Vrat, or very austere performance, because it required a whole month of bathing in the Jamuna River, and this is called the month of Magashira, I believe. And so that comes after Kartik. And during this month, as we all know, it's pretty cold. Just like many of us came back from Vrindavan, or Braj, with colds. Actually, practically everybody has come back, and I just got a message from Kartik Mishra that she's severely sick now, and with a flu and everything like that. So it's just like, you know, we're still suffering from that. So you can imagine bathing naked in the Jamuna River every day. Not only that, but not even eating food that would keep you warm, because they would just eat unspiced khichdi. It's Havishan, it's called. So for the whole month, they were just eating this and bathing naked in the river. That's their determination. So what we can learn from that is the determination, not that we should go bathing in the river here naked. It was a little colder here than Vrindavan. But you can understand their determination, because for little girls to do that, I mean, it's incredible. I mean, just to bathe in the cold water like that every day. So that means they had the bhakti, I mean, pure bhakti. Obviously, they were the gopis. And at the end of this whole period of Kachyani Vrat, who appears but Krishna on the final day, when they're just like culminating the Vrat, and he steals all their clothes. And it's described, he came along with some of his coward boyfriends, but the Acharyas describe that these boyfriends were actually like 2 or 3 years old. They were just little babies. And they practically didn't have any clothes either. I mean, just little kids. And then Krishna sat up in the tree, and he brought all the clothes up in the tree, and he said to the gopis that you've committed a great offense by bathing naked in the Jamuna River. So you must come out and get your clothes. And the gopis, they didn't want to come out. They were actually like extreme. They were in the river up to their necks, so that nobody could see the lower portions of their bodies. And so after a while, they started like turning blue, not because their skin color was blue, but turning blue with the cold, and they were just shivering. I don't know if anyone's experienced being in water like that, or really cold, just like shivering. I mean, last year I had the flu, and it was cold out. I think it was Gaur Purnima or something like that, and I actually almost collapsed on the way to my house because I was just shivering so much. So that's how they were shivering. Finally, Krishna convinces them to come out of the river, and in order to maintain their chastity, they're just covering themselves like this. And Krishna says, no, you committed an offense. The only way to rectify that is you put your hands up like that. So in other words, they were completely exposed. And this, of course, indicates that they were, at that juncture, married to Krishna, because the lady's not supposed to be seen in that condition by anyone else other than her husband. And so, there were many joking words between Krishna and the gopis, and they were very satisfied afterwards. So this is the meaning of the Kachyani Vrat, which begins today. So anybody who wants to accept Krishna as their husband, friend, whatever, can execute special austerities for the month. And of course, the best special austerities increase the hearing and chanting and the service to Krishna. I mean, Krishna's not going to be, as far as the followers of Srila Prabhupada are concerned, Krishna is not going to be pleased just because you eat very little during this month. Krishna is pleased when we increase the service. So one of the surrendering principles is to accept everything favorable for serving Krishna and to reject everything unfavorable. So that's the standard by which we can judge what to do, what not to do during this month. So this is also a very important month. Kartik was a very important month. This is a very important month, too. Actually, every month of the year is important. So we'll go on to Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 6, Text 25. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tushte, when satisfied, cha, also, tatra, that, kim, what, alabhyam, unobtainable, anante, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, ajay, the original source of everything, the cause of all causes. Kim, what need? Tahi, with them. Aguna vyati karat, due to the association of the modes of material nature. Well, the actions, yeah. Iha, in this world. Yay, which? Swasiddha, automatically achieved. Dharma adayaha, the three principles of material advancement, namely religion, economic development, and sense gratification. Kim, what need? Agunena, with liberation into the supreme. Into or onto, anyway. Cha, and kankshitena, desired. Sadam, essence. Jusham, relishing. Charanayaho, of the two lotus feet of the Lord. Upagayatam, who glorify the qualities of the Lord. Naha, of us. Translation, nothing is unobtainable for devotees who have satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the cause of all causes, the original source of everything. The Lord is the reservoir of unlimited spiritual qualities. For devotees, therefore, who are transcendental to the modes of material nature, what is the use of following the principles of religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation, which are all automatically obtainable under the influence of the modes of nature? We devotees always glorify the lotus feet of the Lord, and therefore we need not ask for anything in terms of dharma, kama, artha, and moksha. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In an advanced civilization, people are eager to be religious, to be economically well-situated, to satisfy their senses to the fullest extent, and at last to attain liberation. However, these are not to be magnified as desirable. Interesting expression, magnified. Indeed, for a devotee, these are all very easily available. Bilvamangal Thakur said, Mukti Swayam Mukulitanjali Sevate Sman Dharamartha Kama Gataya Samaya Pratikshaha. Liberation always stands at the door of a devotee ready to carry out his orders. Material advancement and religion, economic development, sense gratification and liberation simply wait to serve a devotee at the first opportunity. A devotee is already in a transcendental position. He does not need further qualifications to be liberated. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita in the 14th chapter, text 26, Sagudan Samati Dvaitan Brahmavuyaya Kalpate. A devotee is transcendental to the actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature because he is situated on the Brahman platform. Prahlad Maharaj said, Agunena cha kankshitena. If one is engaged in the transcendental loving service of the lotus feet of the Lord, He does not need anything in terms of dharma, artha, kama, or moksha. In Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore, in the beginning of the transcendental literature, it is said, dharma, projita, kaitavotra. Dharma, artha, kama, and moksha are kaitava, false and unnecessary. Nirmatsaranam, persons who are completely transcendental to the material activities of separateness, who make no distinction between mine and yours, but who simply engage in the devotional service of the Lord, are actually fit to accept Bhagavad Dharma, Dharmang Bhagavatang Iha. Because they are nirmatsara, not jealous of anyone, they want to make others devotees, even their enemies. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya remarks, Kankshate moksha gam, api sukham, nahang shato yata. Devotees are not desirous of any material happiness, including the happiness derived from liberation. This is called anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma navatam. Karmis desire material happiness and jnanis desire liberation, but a devotee does not desire anything. He is simply satisfied by rendering transcendental loving service at the lotus feet of the Lord and glorifying him everywhere by preaching, which is his life and soul. So, tushte chatatra kim alavyam anantaje kim targuna vyatikarari haye swasiddha dharma daya kim agunena chakanshitena saram jasham charanai orupagayatam naha. So, Om Ganat Vinanda Shah Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Un Minitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, reading this verse and pervert, one can have a little bit of a misunderstanding that devotees don't want anything, or devotees are devoid of ego. And I was listening to a class this morning by Srila Prabhupada, where one devotee taking the position of a devil's advocate, Prabhupada enjoyed it very much when devotees took the position of devil's advocate. In other words, devil means materialist in this particular case. And they would argue against what Prabhupada was presenting, and Prabhupada, of course, would smash them, and sometimes Prabhupada would even engage in an ad hominem attack, which is like, you're a rascal, you know, useless. So anyway, so a devotee was presenting to Prabhupada, Prabhupada was making the point about pure devotional service, and a devotee was presenting to Prabhupada that a devotee has no ego, a devotee doesn't care whether he's happy or sad. And Prabhupada, it's interesting, he responded saying, a devotee wants to be happy. I was shocked, you know, I was just thinking, well, we're just supposed to suffer until we go back to Godhead. Of course we're not. I'm not suffering, but anyway. So Prabhupada said a devotee wants to be happy, but he knows how to achieve happiness. That's the difference. Yeah, and like someone in the material world, they're thinking they can be happy by this dharma, artha, kama, and moksha process. And of course, immature devotees, because here, talking about devotees, Prabhupada in this context is referring to pure devotees. Because, you know, we see all sorts of devotees, you know, karma misra bhakti, jnana misra bhakti, devotees who want all sorts of things in this material world. And they attain them because these are the byproducts of bhakti. However, when they want these things, and of course, people come to Krishna consciousness, chatur vidha bhajanti mam, for these things too, as Krishna mentions in the Gita, because they want wealth, they want knowledge, they're inquisitive, or they're in distress. So the problem is that they will get these things by worshipping Krishna, you know, akaba, sarvakama, mokshakama, dharadevi. But then these things, which are byproducts of bhakti, can bewilder one. Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur describes that these are causes of anarthas. He gives the various causes of anarthas. You know, pious activities, sinful activities, offenses against devotees. And finally, the one that really entraps people, the byproducts of bhakti, where one gets these things and then just becomes enamored by you know, Dhanam Janam Sundari, like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu states. And that's why Lord Chaitanya, one reason why Lord Chaitanya is just really cautioning us about this. You know, followers, prestige, money, etc. So we have to be extremely cautious to remain humble in spite of attaining externally these things, and also understanding these things are coming from Krishna. And Krishna, just as easily as he gives them, can take them away. And if we become attached to them, you know, you'll, what is that called? Punar Mushika Bhava. You know, famous story. I don't know if we have to tell it, but anyway, it was about basically about this Mushika, this mouse, who eventually became an eight-legged beast, the Sharaba. Not only became a tiger, in the end, is actually, the full story is he became an eight-legged beast, and he wanted to eat the sage, and as a result, again, become a mouse. So that can happen to us too. So at the same time, we have to be dependent on Krishna, as mentioned here, understanding that whatever we need, you know, as Krishna says in the Gita, yogakshema vahamyaham, that Krishna will actually provide what we need. And, of course, he'll protect what we have. So, these are two different things. So in other words, a devotee has this attitude towards the Lord that, as we've mentioned in the previous class, that Krishna is my friend and he'll take care of me in each and every circumstance. And there's an interesting story that Prabhupada told in this regard about how Krishna is a friend. And Prabhupada told in a different context, illustrating a verse from the Isopanishad. But anyway, this story also illustrates this point. He said, once upon a time, there was a little boy who was in Gurukula. And in the old days, and I wish it was the same today, because this would help our Gurukula, the teachers didn't take salaries. You know, I just wish we had that Vedic system. Then we wouldn't have any problem with it. And so what happened is that Prabhupada explained that one day a year, there would be a time when the children would take things from their homes and give to the teacher. And whatever they had, they would give. It doesn't matter, you know, whether they were rich, whether they were poor. The teacher didn't distinguish. And the teacher, being a naturally a Brahmin, of course we can't emulate this now, would just live on basically whatever people gave in charity. Yajan, yajan, patan, patan. Dana, pratigraha. Those are the methods that a Brahmin can maintain himself according to the Vedic system. And salary is not mentioned. But anyway, I mean, I'm not criticizing anyone for taking salary because, you know, we have to be practical. We have mortgages to pay and everything. In the old days, they didn't have mortgages to pay. The Brahmin just had a nice grass hut. The weather was more or less all right. You didn't need a HVAC system, you know, heating and cooling system in your house. You didn't need electricity or anything like that. It was a very simple life. But nowadays, of course, we need more. So anyway, so getting back to the story. So there was one day a year when all the students would bring whatever they had, whatever their parents gave them. So they were going around, and one student said, you know, my mother said, you'll give this little gold to you. This teacher was in ecstasy getting gold. Anyways, and then another student said, you know, I'll provide a feast for this day, because it was a day to honor the teacher. Like you have Teacher's Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day, and whatever. So they were going around, but there's this one little poor boy, and he didn't know what he could give. And so he went, the teacher went to him and said, you know, what are you going to give? Obviously, teacher's not supposed to do that. Teacher's supposed to be, you know, whatever the Krishna sends. But anyway, this teacher had a little bit of a material motivation to him. So he went to the boy, and the boy said, I don't know. Let me ask my mother. His mother went to his mother, and his mother said, we are really poor. We are extremely poor. We don't have anything we can give this teacher. And the boy was really upset, but I have to have something to give the teacher. Well, the mother said, then you can go to your friend and ask him for something to give the teacher, you know, your good friend. And he said, what's the name of that good friend? And the name of the good friend is Dina Bandhu. It's a famous story, Prabhupada told the story. And he said, where's this friend? And the mother said, I've heard Dinabandhu, your friend is in the forest. So he goes to the forest, and he's crying out, Dinabandhu, 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 where are you? You know, my friend. You know, Dinabandhu means the friend of the poor, basically. Dinabandhu, you know. Bandhu means friend, Dina means poor. So those who don't have anything. So actually that's true. I mean, Krishna is the friend of the poor. Queen Kunti makes that point. Those who were actually kinchana gochara, those who have nothing. It doesn't mean that we have to have nothing externally, but those who understand they have nothing. That's a little bit different than, you know, our normal concept of someone who's poor is someone who stands on the street corner as you're going into Home Depot or something like that, or, you know, homeless need a job, you know, or, you know, will work or won't work, but just give me food. So that's our concept of poor, wretched. You know, poor to us means wretched. But poor, in a spiritual sense, means that we don't understand, you know, nirmana moha jita sanga dosha, devoid of false prestige, free of bad association, not thinking that you own anything. That should be our concept of poor, spiritual poor. So anyway, so Dinabandhu, Dina, and eventually Krishna appears, and he says, "Oh, my friend." So the Krishna is our friend, you know, Bhaktaram Jagadavasam Sarva Loka Bahesram Suradam. So he says, my friend, what can I do for you? That'd be pretty good. And I've tried that a number of times, and Dinabandhu did not appear to me. Probably because I'm too proud. Probably because I'd ask you for too much, too. It's like, yeah, nothing's too much, but because I'm greedy. I mean, just like a disciple said to me the other day, Gurudev, what do you want? I'll do anything for you. And I said, I want $50,000 for the school. And he almost had a heart attack. But anyways, we don't want to give Dinabandhu a heart attack. So he wouldn't. I mean, he can provide anything. So what happened is Dinabandhu, Krishna, was asked by this little boy, you know, I need to give something to my teacher. And so Krishna said, all right, here's yogurt. In a little pot like that. You know, here's a little pot of yogurt, and you can give that to your teacher. And so what happened is the boy went back very, very happy. You know, he said to his mother, I met Dinabandhu, my friend. And his mother said, what has he given you, a pot of yogurt for the teacher? And the mother said, all right, I hope the teacher's satisfied, just a little tiny pot here. So he goes back, and the teacher says, what have you brought? He said, I brought yogurt. And the teacher says, oh, great, yogurt to feed all the students during the feast. Let's see how much yogurt. So the boy brings this little pot, you know, about this big. And the teacher just gets really upset and says, what? How are we going to feed all the students with this? You know, what kind of stupid student are you or whatever? And he puts the pot down, you know, on the side, and, you know, just thinks, you know, what's the use of a little yogurt like that? So the yogurt spills out on the floor, and then he picks the pot up, and he looks at it, and it's full again. And he does the same thing again, and it's full. And the same thing again, and it's full. I thought it was such a nice story. Prabhupada used it to indicate in the verse from the Upanishad that Om Purnamidam, that even though so many complete units emanate from the complete whole remains the complete whole. So Prabhupada used it, but I'm using it for a different purpose, that story. And so the teacher was amazed, and he said, you have a very nice Dinabandhu. What? A bad teacher? We don't want teachers like that. But at least, I think the teacher rectified himself when he understood that. And it was prasadam yogurt because it was given by Krishna. So I think everybody got purified. There was probably a happy ending to the story after that. So anyway, so the point is that Krishna is our Dinabandhu. I mean, well, that's the reason I'm telling the story. I mean, he's the friend of us. And if we just take shelter, of course, oftentimes I recite Lord Chaitanya's six surrendering principles, like two of them, of course, are to accept, to understand the Lord is always protecting one, always maintaining one. It doesn't mean that one acts foolish and doesn't, you know, we still should wear a seatbelt when we're in a car. And, you know, we don't jump off buildings, we don't do foolish things. We use our intelligence, because one of the ways the Lord protects us is through our use of intelligence. You know, God helps those who help themselves. But if we have this attitude with Krishna, that Krishna will give me what I want. Yayamam ananyaschinta yantomam yajana paripasate tesham janam that's a rule. Ananyaschinta yantomam. If we are completely dedicated to Krishna, then yoga kshema vahamiyam. Then we won't have to worry about anything. And of course, on the other hand, anything personal. Okay. But on the other hand, we can be in anxiety about Krishna's service. You know, one may question, you know, just like I question sometimes because I've made all these obligations, you know, the Gurukulu, fixing up the temple and everything like that. So I'm questioning, you know, I'm surrendering to you, Krishna, why am I in anxiety? You know, what's wrong? But actually, that anxiety is purifying. That anxiety is part of devotional service. Not too much anxiety that you just like, you know, but even Prabhupada exhibited that when he sent Tamal Krishnamaraj to buy the property in Mayapur. Prabhupada was just in anxiety. He was pacing up and down. He couldn't do his translation work. You know, he was staying up all night long waiting for Tamal Krishnamaraj to come back because he was in anxiety. Also, when Prabhupada sent Brahmananda Prabhu or Maharaj to Pakistan to preach, I mean, it was just really bold for him to do that. And really, Brahmananda had a lot of faith to go there. Can you imagine going to Pakistan to preach Krishna consciousness? And he went there, and people were spitting on him and yelling at him, throwing stones at him. And at that time, Prabhupada actually saw a news article that said, you know, Hare Krishna devotees were killed in Pakistan. And Prabhupada was thinking, you know, this is Brahmananda. And Prabhupada was in complete anxiety about the whole thing. And finally, you know, Brahmananda shows up and Prabhupada embraces him and just, I was in so much anxiety. So, on the other hand, for ourselves, you know, we know Krishna's taking care of us. And even if something happens, let's say we get some disease, like some terminal illness like that, it's Krishna's arrangement. I mean, we should make some adjustment or arrangement to cure it if we can. But obviously, we don't just sit and say, well, I got this terminal illness. I got pneumonia. Let me go outside and go swimming in the river. So we make some adjustment, but ultimately, it's Krishna taking care of us. We're like, it's like that advertisement in the old days, you're in good hands with Allstate. You ever remember that advertisement? It was an insurance company. It showed, you know, big hands, I guess, and a little person. So, you know, it's a feeling of security. Like Prabhupada said, it's like, another example Prabhupada said, it's like being going back to your mother as a little baby and being breastfed by your mother. That's another example that Prabhupada gave. I was just listening to that. That's nice. I get the chance to hear so many of Prabhupada's classes while I'm doing my deity worship. It's very inspiring. So it's like that. So anyway, so it's Krishna taking care of us at every moment. So personally, we can just accept like that. But then for service of Krishna, then we actually take chances, we put our neck out, and we put ourselves in a situation, I mean a moderate amount of anxiety. Prabhupada said, an easy time, there's another quote, and Rita Nandamaraj was very very fond of quoting this this statement of Prabhupada. He said, an easy time and Krishna consciousness don't go well together. And Prabhupada said, without opposition, there's another quote Rita Nandamaraj would often tell me when he was trying to get me to surrender. When I was a poor brahmachari, he would say, without opposition, where's the chance for glorious victory? In other words, without some challenge like that. And one of the reasons Prabhupada came to America is because Americans love these challenges. You know, Prabhupada said, another thing is Prabhupada said, we should be like soldiers, like Arjuna, you know, fighters for Krishna. So fighters mean, like you see in the battle of Kurukshetra, so much distress Arjuna had to experience in his service, isn't it? I mean, he saw Abhimanyu killed. Can you imagine how distressful that was? Seeing his sons, that's Abhimanyu, of course, and then the other sons were killed, Bhruvahan and other sons were killed in the battle, and his brother's sons, and his, I mean, it's just unimaginable. But Krishna always took care of him. So it's something like that. So anyway, so that's Krishna consciousness, and we just have to have that full faith. Ganyanyas chintiyanto mam yejanak paripasate tesham vyuktamam yogakshemahamiham, as Krishna says in the Gita, that Krishna will take care of our needs, and he'll protect us, and maintain us, and protect what we have. So, on that happy note, any questions or comments? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, we all have a terminal disease. That's actually a good point.
There's a Christian hymn, he's got the whole world in his hands.
Yeah, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world.
I think that's a principle of in any faith that ultimately God protects. But my one question is that when we think of liberation,
that's right.
Good, they'll always be happy. You know, they can stand in front of a raging, you know, fire.
I wish it would.
Liberation. What is practically when we say liberation? Are we liberated and don't really realize it?
Well, there's different ways to explain it. One is ultimately we're going back to Godhead, so we're liberated, but we haven't realized it, like you said. Another way can be explained in terms of Rupa Goswami's qualities of pure devotional service, immediate freedom from distress. Now, I haven't experienced that way. Brings immediate freedom from distress. So, from material distress. Because when a devotee experiences distress, it's actually pure. I mean, the devotee who's engaged in service under the direction of a pure devotee, then that distress is purifying. You know, it's not material distress. So, when we talk about liberation, sorry about that. But liberation generally means that it's a negative thing. It's to be free from something. That's what liberation means. That's why generally devotees say we're not interested in liberation. And of course, the Vaishnava liberation, there's four types of Vaishnava liberation, one type of impersonal liberation. Anyway, there's not any time to get into the subject matter. But all glories to Srila Prabhupada.